This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning to the John Osterlund Morning Show. I'm not that much into Twitter. I've never been a big Twitter person. And there's only, what is it, Coleman? We talked about it before. Not even 10% of Americans are on Twitter. It's not like Facebook, and it's not like Instagram, where there are just piles of people on those two social media venues. Twitter isn't like that. And I've always said Twitter, I think the people that have to be on Twitter are people in the media, people in the sports media, because that's where people will break some news. But other than that, Twitter is an absolute sewer. It is the sewer. It is the cesspool of social media. But you know who's on Twitter?
Almost everyone? No.
Coleman, I just told you, not even 10%.
I'm talking about celebrity-wise.
Celebrities. It's for the news, sports, and celebrities. It's for celebrities to let their to tell people how they feel about things. And one of the celebrities who's on Twitter is O.J. Simpson. And I know that you'd like to keep an eye on O.J. Simpson. And I always get a kick out of when O.J. Simpson talks on Twitter. He let everybody know how he felt about the police in the George Floyd murder in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I thought that was wrong, O.J. Simpson said. Well, O.J. Simpson just let people know how he felt about something else on Twitter. Because something else just happened on Twitter that was very, very wrong. The face of the NBA superstar LeBron James.
Uh-oh, what'd he do this time?
Well, he lets people know how he feels about Twitter, or how he feels about things on Twitter. And he's a social justice warrior. That's what he is, and he's angered many people over the last couple of years because of his feelings about social justice issues. And that's fine. He could tell his 50 or 100 million people who are following him, whatever the case may be, he could tell them exactly what he wants to tell them. That's his platform. And there's a lot of people that don't like that. There's a lot of people that stopped watching the NBA, that stopped watching basketball because they don't want to hear LeBron James talk about political issues, social justice issues. Those people believe that sports is a place to go to get away from politics, to get away from that kind of stuff. And I, in a way, feel that way. But I also understand that some of these athletes and some of these celebrities, they're famous and they have 100 million people following them on social media, whatever the case may be. If that's a large platform for them to say what they want to say, that they can get their opinions out to more people that way than any other way. So I understand why they would want to use some of these celebrities, including LeBron James, would want to use their platform on social media to get a point across. But boy, did he screw up a couple of nights ago. Did LeBron James really, really, really screw up? I mean, he screwed up so bad, O.J. Simpson had to hand it to him. On Tuesday, there was another shooting with police of a black person. This time it was of a young black girl. But in this instance, most people agree, even most black people agree, that the police officer was right and he wasn't wrong. But not LeBron James at first. I think LeBron James realizes now. In the state of Ohio, there was a 16-year-old shot and killed by a police officer. Her name is Makia Bryant. Well, her name was Makia Bryant. But this time, the reason why the police officer shot and killed the 16-year-old black girl, she was stabbing another girl to death. She was in the process of stabbing someone to death. And the police officer had no choice. He had to shoot and kill her because she wasn't stopping. And most people agree that the police officer did the right thing. Even most black people agree. But when it first happened, LeBron James put a picture of the police officer, the white police officer, in uniform with his face. And he wrote on Twitter, hashtag accountability, you're next. Now, many people know, you and I, Coleman, know what LeBron James meant by that.
Right, he meant that he would be the next Chauvin.
He would be the next police officer to be held accountable for killing a black person. But he was so wrong. And there are a bunch of people who looked at that and thought LeBron James said, oh, we got to kill this cop now. This cop should be killed next. Accountability. And he didn't mean that. He meant that should be the next cop who goes to jail for pretty much the rest of his life, like Derek Chauvin in Minneapolis, Minnesota, when he was just found guilty by a jury, and he's going to be sentenced in 8 weeks, 7 or 8 weeks. But the problem was, this cop, thinking quickly, was watching a young black girl stab another human being, another girl, to death with a knife. And he only had a split second to make up the decision after she wasn't stopping when he said stop, so he shot her and killed her. But LeBron James made a big mistake. And even, you know, he made a mistake when O.J. Simpson, when O.J. Simpson, who got away with killing his wife, almost decapitating her with a knife, and killing her friend Ron Goldman. Even if Ron Goldman wasn't Nicole Brown Simpson's friend, he was the waiter who was at the restaurant when Nicole Brown Simpson left her glasses, or her mother left her glasses, or somebody left their glasses at the restaurant where they were eating, and Ronald Goldman had to bring the glasses back to O.J. Simpson, or to Nicole Brown Simpson. And you talk about the worst timing in the world. I mean, if he went pretty much at any other time, he'd still be alive. But he happened to go at the same time to show up at Nicole Brown Simpson's house that O.J. showed up. And O.J. had two people to stab to death instead of one. He got away with it. But O.J. Simpson let LeBron James have it on social media. The police guy had no choice. He responded, said O.J. Simpson on Twitter when he was talking about the Ohio police officer killing the 16-year-old black girl. We wished he could have pulled a taser, but in that incident, if he didn't do what he did, another young American would have her life taken. That's what O.J. said. And by the way, you know, he's saying this on Twitter. When O.J. talks about justice, it's unbelievable. It makes your head spin around.
It's the comments for me. That's why I love O.J.'s Twitter. It's not O.J. himself, not necessarily a fan of O.J. It's just how people respond that O.J. is just living his best life right now. And people who follow O.J. can't stand it. It's like, why follow the guy and torture yourself if you're upset that here's this guy who pretty much got away with murder is talking about, you know, how the jurors reacted in a big profile case and how a cop had to do the right thing, how he's talking about morality on Twitter, and people can't stand it. It's like, why follow the guy then if you don't like this guy?
And
smiling and laughing and enjoying himself.
And O.J. also said on Twitter, calling out LeBron James, you can't fight every battle. You know, you got to pick your battles. It's a war that must be fought, but sometimes you need to take your time and be a little more patient before you comment on some of these bad incidents that are happening with police departments. LeBron should have waited.
I'm going to have to go with OJ on this one. I do believe that is the problem with the 24-hour media cycle. The media is so quick to throw news out there without all the details, and people are so quick to respond to what they see as soon as a breaking story comes out, and they just want to hurry up and shove their opinion out there on social media, say what they feel and how they do this. Then a few days later, more details come out, and you realize, uh-oh, my tweet or my social media post didn't age that well we have these details that come out. That's why I'm more reluctant to speak on any situation until it's all the way resolved. You know, as soon as something comes out, I don't like to get on social media like, oh, this should have happened, this should have happened, they should have said this.
But LeBron James deleted his tweet, but we all know that doesn't matter as soon as you put it up there, people take a screen grab of it and then they can share it. And you know you're wrong when more Americans agree with how O.J. Simpson feels about something than how LeBron James feels about something. LeBron didn't get the reaction he wanted to. He you know, again, social media, these guys, these celebrities, these athletes, they're brands. That's what they are. They are brands just as much as they are human beings. And they have to.
They're dependent on it.
They have to grow their brand. And that's why they use Twitter. That's why they use social media. And then when things don't go their way, when they are wrong, when they screw up like LeBron James just did, they have to delete what they said.
Chrissy Teigen is a perfect example how she felt like she had to get away from Twitter. Only lasted a few weeks and realized, you know what? I have to put myself back
she's
on
back.
Twitter. Yeah, she's back on Twitter.
She's back for millions of people to watch her live her life.
Alex Baldwin, same thing. When things don't go their way, they take themselves off of Twitter. A week or so go by, they hot right back on Twitter. These celebrities are dependent on Twitter because they feel like that's their voice. That's their, you know.
Well, when they've got 100 million people following them, then they are a brand. And they can make a lot of money because businesses, companies, corporations see how many people follow them. And boy, they can pay them to get their message out, to advertise through these celebrities and these athletes on.
And with that being said, John, are you going to go see Space Jam 2? I heard it's going to be pretty good, starring LeBron James.
I'll probably, if I do watch it, I'll probably wait till it comes into my living room. I'm not
going to. No, with today's technology, is going straight to your living room now with HBO Max and all this. Movies that are released to go straight to your television. You don't have to wait
anymore. Yeah, if I don't have to pay for it, I may watch it, but probably not. But you've got an issue if more people are agreeing with O.J. Simpson than agree with you, LeBron James. But the NBA hasn't said anything because the NBA, LeBron James is the face of that organization, and they should have come out and said, hey, LeBron, you were wrong on this one. You were wrong. That cop had no choice. He had to shoot and kill the young black girl because she was stabbing another girl to death. And so LeBron James was pissed off, I guess, in this case, that some young people aren't able to stab other young people to death. I guess that's what pissed off LeBron.
No, I think
James.
LeBron didn't know the complete details of the story.
Didn't.
And then when more details came out, he was like, oh, yeah, I get it.
Just like other stories, he didn't know all the details of. But anyways, hey, coming up on the show, we have a lot to do this morning. Someone in New Orleans, we know carjackings are through the roof. Someone stole an ambulance. Someone stole an ambulance from a hospital. A car thief stole an ambulance. We'll tell you about that, and we have a lot to get to on the show this morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show, New Orleans morning radio show. You don't see this headline very often here in the city of New Orleans. New Orleans man cut in stomach with sword in Treme. In the Treme neighborhood the other day, right around 12 noon, right around lunchtime, a man cut another man in the stomach with a sword. A sword! Who's walking around New Orleans? Who's walking around Treme at high noon, at lunchtime, broad daylight, with a sword?
A samurai? A ninja? A vampire hunter?
No, the person, according to the New Orleans police who was arrested, Coleman, was neither a samurai or a ninja. Now look, people get shot here in this city every day. You know, New Orleans is one of the few places on planet Earth where people get shot every day. You know, we're used to people getting shot here in the city of New Orleans. Carjackings and car theft are through the roof. Coming up on the show, we're going to tell you the story about how someone just stole an ambulance from outside of a hospital. That's how bad carjackings are in the city of New Orleans. That's how bad car thefts are in the city of New Orleans. I mean, an ambulance was just stolen from right outside of a hospital. But this has me scratching my head. New Orleans man cut in stomach with sword in Treme, according to the New Orleans Police Department. And again, this happened to 12 noon. It happened this week, and all week it was a beautiful week. The sun was shining every day. It wasn't too hot or humid. It was absolutely stunningly beautiful weather-wise this week here in the city of New Orleans. But at 12 noon in Treme, a man was stabbed with a sword. A sword! That means someone had to be walking around in the middle of the day, walking around the city of New Orleans with a sword.
You know, there once was a time where that was customary. When you look at old, you know, period pieces, whether it's in the Renaissance period with knights and stuff like that, or whether it was pirates, or whether it was in feudal Japan, it was customary for people to just walk around with swords.
Yeah.
It was completely normal. If you was a knight, if you was a feudal ninja, if you was just a pirate, you would just have a sword right there. Even, as short back as the Civil War, you know, the generals like Custer and Lee had swords.
That was long before people were getting shot every day in the city of New Orleans, Coleman. That was long before that was happening.
I'm just saying I wouldn't be against just making it normalized for people to just walk around casually with swords like they did in the movies. I don't see nothing wrong with it.
New Orleans police say a man is in critical condition after an argument ended with another man stabbing him or cutting him in the stomach with a sword.
Did it have a motive? Did it say why the guy?
It was an argument.
Okay.
And this was right around 12 noon the other day in the Treme neighborhood here in New Orleans. According to the police report, the victim was walking in the 1300 block of North Galvez Street when he began arguing with the unidentified suspect. Now, I wonder if the argument started because this guy was walking down North Galvez Street in Treme, and he saw another man walking down the street at lunchtime, 12 noon, it's beautiful sunny afternoon, with a sword. I wonder if he saw a man walking with a sword, and he's like, what the hell are you doing with a sword walking down the street?
At which point, the man with the sword should be like, mind your business.
Well, the man with the sword wasn't happy about being spoken to or being argued with like he was. The argument turned physical. And the man with the sword cut the victim across the stomach with a sword.
So you mean to tell me...
It's like Pirates of the Caribbean on North Galvez Street.
You mean to tell me there was an argument with somebody without a weapon and one with a weapon, and the one with the weapon just happened to win? Oh, what a coincidence. How about that? I see a guy with a sword, and I started fighting with the guy with the weapon in his hand. And I doubt that the sword was concealable. It's not like he didn't see the sword. It's a sword.
No, police did not say how the argument started or what type of sword was used in the assault.
Yeah, was it a saber? Was it a katana? Was it a long sword or broadsword? These are the details we need to know.
You know, again, you see a story like this. I don't remember in the over 13 years I've lived here in the city of New Orleans where I saw someone in broad daylight stab someone else, cut someone with a sword.
Well, hypothetically, John, if you did see someone walking around in broad daylight at noontime around the waters with a sword, would you stop them and question them, or would you just mind your business and keep going?
Maybe from across the street.
I mean, I'd
say, hey, it's 12 noon on a beautiful weekday afternoon here in New Orleans. What are you doing with that sword?
Why are y'all getting in this man's business? Let the man walk around. If he's not hurting anybody. Remember you was walking around with golf clubs the other day and people...
That's right, I was moving.
Isn't that aggravating? You was minding your business. You didn't mean anybody no harm. You just had some golf clubs on you. You was walking down the streets in New Orleans in the middle of the day with golf clubs.
I was walking, that's right, I had golf clubs over my shoulder. I was moving from one place in the warehouse district to another, and I was walking through the warehouse district with my golf clubs, and a couple of cars did pull over. So, they're like, hey, you must have shanked that drive, because there's obviously no golf course anywhere near me.
So unless somebody didn't like the fact that you had golf clubs in your hand and they tried to attack you, what are you going to do, John? You're going to take a golf club and whack them, right? You're going to take your four iron or whatever?
Probably my driver.
Your driver. Just whack them across the head. So it stands to reason that when you argue with people with weapons or anything in their hand, and you get into arguing with them, they're going to use the thing that's in their hand.
You know, I told that story on the show the other day. That's a true story. And as I was walking a few blocks through the warehouse district, moving my golf clubs over my shoulder from the apartment I'm moving from to the apartment I was moving in the warehouse district, a taxi cab was the first car to pull up next to me and say, hey, you need a ride somewhere? You lost? Yeah, bring me to English Turn. Yeah. That's where I'm supposed to be.
Well, you know what they say, though, John. The only person that can stop a bad guy with a sword is a good guy with a gun.
But unfortunately, the guy who ended up in the hospital for being cut in the stomach with the sword, that's all we know. And the cops, they didn't arrest the man with the sword. If you're listening, if you're, whether it's in Treme here in New Orleans or whether it's in Metairie or whether it's in Mandeville, if you see someone at 12 noon on a beautiful, beautiful sunny afternoon, it wasn't hot or humid, it was just perfect. If you see a person walking down the street with a sword, what do you do? Obviously, you stay away, but you don't.
Nothing.
You don't say, hey,
you know what? I have a sword. That's what we'll do, an experiment, John. We'll walk around, we'll just have my sword. Which is carry the one I brought to the Renaissance Fest that one time. I don't know if you remember it, but I had that big long sword and I wore it around the Renaissance Fest.
I love the Renaissance Fest.
Yeah, but let's
this
just
wasn't
it.
The Renaissance Festival. This was in the middle of Treme in New Orleans on a beautiful sunny day at high noon at lunchtime.
Stories like this makes me wonder how life would be so much simpler if people would just mind their business.
All right, well, coming up on the show, we hope that man is all right who was stabbed with the sword. We hope the New Orleans police catch the man with the sword, because that's the last thing I want to see on a beautiful day in New Orleans is someone walking down the street with a sword. Look, we get people have guns and people get shot here every day. We get that. Sword, this is a whole new ballgame.
So you're okay with open carry. You see somebody with an AR-15 or AK-47 just strapped in their backs. Oh, that's the Second Amendment right.
I have no problem with anybody.
But a sword. No, that's why I draw the line. Oh, no.
Dude, it's a sword.
So what?
I have no problem with anybody exercising their Second Amendment constitutional right. But yeah, I have a problem with someone walking down the street in the middle of the day, a beautiful day, with a sword.
All right.
Hey, coming up on the show, we got to tell you about the ambulance that got stolen from right outside a hospital here in New Orleans. And, hey, it's down to three prospective beautiful-looking sites for where Six Flags was in New Orleans East. And Drew Brees is leading the way with one of the sites. One of the councilwoman here in New Orleans who represents that area. She wants the people, she wants the constituents to tell her which one of these three sites they want there for the place that used to be Six Flags. It's finally, something's happening with that. Stay tuned for those reports and more coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. So tomorrow is National Lingerie Day. According to a new study, 80% of women wear the wrong size bra. Sadly, the other 20% have the wrong size breasts. Enjoy National Lingerie Day tomorrow.
What are you telling me for?
I was just looking at you, Coleman. But I wasn't here on Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only, classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Good morning. John Osterlin hanging. Over. With you. And Coleman. Did you see this story from this week? United States Coast Guard in Miami offloads $94.6 million worth of cocaine.
That's a lot of coke.
That is a lot of coke. That's 5,500 pounds of it. A Coast Guard crew offloaded $94.6 million worth of blow in Miami on Tuesday. What'd you do on Tuesday? That was the result of a bust earlier this month off the coast of Colombia. In an effort to disrupt the flow of drugs into the United States, a maritime patrol near Punta Galinas, Colombia, spotted a vessel on April 9th, and they discovered 87 bales of cocaine on that vessel. That's weighing 5,500 pounds. Isn't that something, how we, the United States Coast Guard, can go bust a vessel off the coast of Colombia because we know what's on it, and we don't want that coming into our country. So we're able to, our Coast Guard is able to arrest people on a vessel off the coast of Colombia.
I'm more impressed by the abundance of Coke that they have. We talked a lot during the pandemic about how there was a shortage of beer like Miller Lite yesterday, or how there's a shortage of toilet paper, or how there's a shortage of chicken wings for the Super Bowl. There doesn't seem to be a shortage of cocaine going around, is there?
Not coming out of Colombia.
It seems like there's an abundance of Coke, especially with the war on drugs and everything. You think Coke would be in, you know, just like any other product where, oh, we can't get it to the people like we want to, but if there's $94 million worth of Coke on the boat.
So they arrested three guys, but they again, they got the vessel. They found all this Coke on a vessel off the coast of Colombia, so we bring it back here to Miami. Figures Miami. Do you realize that the skyline of Miami, downtown Miami, all those big buildings, it's been said that skyline, all those buildings were built on cocaine money.
I can see that.
One of the best documentaries I've ever seen in my life, and if you've never seen it, I highly recommend you watch it, is called Cocaine Cowboys. It's about that rumor. And it's not even a rumor. It's a fact. The man who made the movie, the documentary Cocaine Cowboys, grew up in Miami and always heard that the skyline of Miami was built on cocaine money. So he wanted to investigate that. And he made a great documentary called Cocaine Cowboys. Coleman, if you've never seen it, I highly recommend you watch it. It is one of the greatest documentaries ever made. I mean, it's about Miami in the 80s and how it became a cocaine capital and how the cocaine money built much of Miami. And it's true.
So you
and I don't want to spoil it, but it was a woman who was in charge. It wasn't the cocaine king of Miami. It was the cocaine queen of Miami. So I started thinking about that documentary when I saw this story from this week, how the United States Coast Guard just found $94.6 million worth of cocaine. That's over 5,500 pounds on a vessel off of Colombia. And where does the United States Coast Guard bring it when they got to bring it somewhere after they make that bust? They bring it to Miami.
So there's somebody at the Miami skyline right now that was looking at the dock with binoculars saying, there goes my stuff. The Coast Guard got it from me.
What an incredible bust, an incredible take as the United States Coast Guard in Miami offloaded $94.6 million worth of cocaine this week there. And if you're looking for something to watch, if you've never seen Cocaine Cowboys, it's incredible. It really is. Coming up on the show, they're down to three proposals for the site where Six Flags was over there in New Orleans East. They're down to three proposals, and they're all good. And we'll tell you what they are coming up. And the councilwoman for that district, the New Orleans City Councilwoman, she's letting the people, the constituents, the voters, have a say in what's going to be built there. More details on that coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us three times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. There's a story I've got to get to. Just give me 1 second here. I wanted to mention that they're finally doing something with the former site of Six Flags in New Orleans East, where it was. They've got it narrowed down because a bunch of businesses, a bunch of companies, a bunch of people have they've proposed things to three. What they say, this is the city of New Orleans, and what they say are the best three proposals for that site over there. And one of the proposals is led by Drew Brees and still current New Orleans Saint linebacker DeMario Davis. They've got a great plan. It's their plan, and there's two other proposals that they've narrowed it down to. Finally, something is being done with the former site of Six Flags in New Orleans East. And the New Orleans City Councilwoman who represents that area, her name is Cindy Nguyen, she is accepting public comments and feedback on those proposals made for the revitalization of the Six Flags sites. And they're all very, very cool. I mean, I saw one of them. They're going to have a big indoor water park with golf courses and tennis courts and other things. And there's, like I said, they've narrowed it down to the final three. And people have until 5 o'clock this afternoon to let New Orleans City Councilwoman Cindy Nguyen know which of those three proposals they like best. But once they pick one of these, it'll only be a matter of a year or so until something beautiful is going to be over there. It's so sad. Every time you drive by there, look over there, you still see the Ferris wheel, but the weeds are growing higher than the Ferris wheel. And finally, all of these years after Hurricane Katrina rendered Six Flags of New Orleans useless over there, we're finally getting something, and we're getting somewhere. And so, like I said, they've narrowed it down to three proposals, and people have until 5 o'clock this afternoon to you can go and look at those three proposals, and then they can shoot City Councilwoman Cindy Nguyen which one they like best.
Well, you think that since Drew Brees is involved in one of them, he'd have home field advantage, and most people would just vote for that one just because Drew Brees is involved in it, whether his is probably the best idea or not, right?
All three of them are great ideas, Coleman. These final three proposals, because there was a lot of proposals that came in, and they narrowed it down to these three. And Drew Brees is leading the way with one of them, and they're all fantastic. I don't think you can go wrong with any one of these three. But people have until 5 o'clock this afternoon to go online and look at what these three have. And then they can send the city councilwoman, Cindy Nguyen, send the city of New Orleans which one you think you like best. Yeah, like I said, you can't go wrong with either one of these three, to be honest with you. And it's just so awesome that finally something is going to happen over there. So I just wanted to mention that. But if you want to get your opinion heard, go check them out, and then let the city councilwoman know which one you like best. Again, in my opinion, you can't go wrong with either one of these three proposals. But I saw this story, and I couldn't believe it. This was going to be the dumbest thing I read all morning, that segment that we do every morning around 8:35, 8:40. But we have a bunch of dumb things that we're weeding through for that. But this happened right here in New Orleans, and I couldn't believe it when I saw it. Ambulance stolen from Touro Hospital's emergency room. And those who stole the ambulance crashed it after a wild ride. I mean, we know carjackings and car thefts here in New Orleans are higher than they've ever been. The numbers are through the roof. But an ambulance, really? From outside the, right next to the emergency room at Touro Hospital?
Makes you wonder if it was a patient or it was a car thief just happened to be passing by the hospital.
Yesterday, an ambulance was stolen from Touro Hospital's emergency room ramp. According to police and according to a New Orleans EMS spokesperson, the EMS ambulance was stolen from Touro Hospital uptown, and it was stolen from their emergency room ramp, the ramp that people drive their cars to drop people off at the emergency room there. A spokesperson with the New Orleans Emergency Medical Services, the EMS, said, and the ambulance was later found crashed in Girtown. The suspect, a man, drove to Pine Street and Earhart and left the vehicle running after he crashed it as he exited. The ambulance then rolled into a New Orleans Police Department unit. EMS said they heard reports that the man may have crashed into other vehicles between Touro Hospital and the crash site in Girtown. But they're still trying to figure out exactly what he hit, how many things he hit. So someone just decided to steal an ambulance. Again, the ambulance was right outside the emergency room at Touro Hospital, Coleman. And for whatever reason, this person stole it, took it on a joyride, hit a few things, and then ended up leaving the vehicle in Girtown when he exited.
Just like the PSA we said a couple of weeks ago about people leaving their cars running at gas stations. You don't leave the keys in your vehicle running and didn't exit your vehicle. Even at an ambulance at Touro, take the keys out the ignition and take it with you. Don't leave the ambulance running when you exit the ambulance.
Now, you would think, and we think that's what happened. Although how the suspect was able to steal that ambulance is still being investigated. We're guessing here, we're speculating that the ambulance driver, the EMS worker, left the keys in the ignition when they dropped off someone at the emergency room at Touro Hospital. And then someone just happened to be there, walking by, standing there, saw the ambulance with what we think the keys were in the ignition, and then that's how they were able to just take it for a joyride, hitting a few things before leaving it in Girtown.
Yeah, based on the way this guy has reportedly been driving, I don't think he was smooth enough to be a pickpocket and take the keys from wherever the ambulance driver had his keys at. I think this guy just left the keys in the ambulance.
Well, there were no injuries, luckily, and really luckily, there were no patients in the ambulance. So there was nobody laid out on a stretcher in the back of the ambulance. That person had already been brought into the emergency room at Touro Hospital.
Well, you know, if someone did get injured by the hurt ambulance, you can always call an ambulance.
Yeah. The New Orleans Police Department said they will not consider this a carjacking. Because they don't want to, I guess, add to the numbers of all the cars that have been jacked
here. Well, what the hell would they consider it?
Again, the ambulance was right outside the emergency room. There was nobody in the ambulance. So technically, is that a carjacking or is that just a car theft?
It should be a carjacking, I guess. Unless you're saying because a person wasn't in it, it's probably not considered as a car theft.
Yeah.
All right, cool. I'm cool with that then.
But go figure. Just like, you know, with some of the other stories we talk about on this show, I have said, it's like you thought you've seen it all. Someone stole an ambulance from right outside the emergency room at Toro Hospital and then drove it on a joyride and ended up in Girktown, and that's when they left it and took off.
They have a few texts that says, ambulance stay running to power the back. Some emergency vehicles don't need keys.
All right, so maybe the EMS driver, the ambulance driver, did not leave the keys in the ignition. And
well, that makes sense. If you're on the run and you have an emergency call, you don't want to be looking around for keys to go save a person. You just want to hop in and go. So it does, that does make sense. Maybe there's a push to start or something, like, and it starts.
But someone stealing the ambulance yesterday, Coleman, that made things difficult because how many ambulances, I mean, you people see ambulances flying through the streets of New Orleans all the time. Saw one yesterday, and it was stolen. Someone was taking it on a joyride. And I bet you they turned on the sirens and the lights, and they were having fun as they were driving through the streets. And then when they got to Girktown, they hit something, and they said, we're out of here, and they took off. Just when you thought you saw it all, someone stole an ambulance from the emergency room at Touro Hospital yesterday and took it on a joyride before crashing it. Man. We still have the dumbest thing I read all morning. That wasn't it. And we have a few other things we've got to get to. Stay with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Sunday is National DNA Day. According to a new study, your susceptibility to obesity is based on your DNA. So to answer an age-old question, yes, your genes do make you look fat. On Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. I just saw a story where a man filled his bowling ball with his dead father's ashes, and then he bowled a perfect game with that ball. He bowled a 300. You know, it's interesting. I haven't made any plans for when I die. I mean, being raised Catholic, I should get buried, but I haven't done that yet. I haven't. To be honest with you, I've told you, I don't care when I die. So you'd take me up to Bogalusa and throw my body in the woods. I really don't care. But there are things that if you decide not to get buried and you or you know someone that gets cremated, there are things you could do and it would let that person, sure, in death, lasts a hell of a lot longer. Like this guy. He's got his dead father's ashes in a bowling ball, and he just went out and bowled a 300. He bowled a perfect game. You know, you could, if you know someone, you love someone, they get cremated, you could put their ashes in a in one of those hourglass things, and you could always have them with you. You could, and they could be, you know, you just put on one. And
I would have to ask, would that be cheating, having human ashes in a bowling ball? Like, what if the human ashes had, you know, human growth hormones in there, like GMOs, you know, the stuff that's illegal for athletes to have?
Well, Coleman, this guy named John Hinkle Jr., he's a two-time NCAA bowling champion. And when his father, John Hinkle Sr., died, he said, look, I want to keep Dad around with me. He put his ashes in the thumb hole of his bowling ball. And they're at the base of the thumb hole where you stick your thumb. And he went out and he just bowled a perfect game, a 300. Thanks, Dad. You know, they besides you know, putting your dead father or loved one in a place like that, or a place like an hourglass, you know, there's that meme that's been going around on the internet. You know, if you have a loved one who dies and you want to keep them around, if they get cremated, put the ashes in the hourglass. And then when you have your friends over for game night, just put the hourglass on the table. And if you're, depending what game you play, if there's a time limit, your dead relative could.
Yeah, Pictionary.
Yeah, you could still be a part of game night.
There was a movie called Mystery Men, and one of the characters, a woman, put her dead father's skull inside of a bowling ball, and the bowling ball was see-through, and you could see the skull just sitting there, and she would talk to the skull, like, what did you say, Dad? And the bowling ball would kind of talk to her, I guess.
They now sell these things that I saw that you can buy, where you could get your dead loved ones, get a replica of their face. And then you could put the ashes inside of that.
Hmm.
And so it's like you're looking at the person you love, but their ashes are inside of it, and you're kind of you're looking at their face. But I thought this the bowler, what a great way to honor your father, spend time with your dead father. Sure, it's his ashes, but.
And then just happened to bowl a perfect 300.
Yeah. I mean, you got to think outside the box sometimes, Coleman. I mean, I know. Do you know when you die, what's going to happen with your body? I mean, I have
decided.
I don't know, and I don't care. Throw me in the woods. Just throw me in the woods. Why does it matter?
I have decided. I've decided that I'm just going to live forever and not die, so I don't have to worry about it.
That's your plan?
Yeah. Just not die.
All right. That's a good one. All right, coming up on the show, we still have the dumbest thing that I read all morning. And no, putting your dead father's ashes in a bowling ball in the thumb hole and then bowling a 300, that dumb. It worked. I mean, I thought about that for a minute. And we still got, actually, the dumbest thing I read all morning has to do with another ridiculous gender reveal party. I thought these things, after they started killing people, were going to end gender reveal parties. But they're not ending yet. Stay tuned for that. We got more we got to get to. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Just reading about a Supreme Court case that I found very interesting that they are talking about. And I've always been fascinated with the United States Supreme Court because that's the end of the line when it comes to legal justice here in the United States of America. The Supreme Court doesn't hear most of the cases. They won't even deal with most of the cases that come in front of them. They don't have time. So when the Supreme Court decides to take on a case, it's obviously very, very important. And you've got nine justices there that are the end of the road. It's the last stand when it comes to legal maneuverings here in the United States. So there are some cases that the Supreme Court rules on that are incredibly interesting. And I've got one right in front of me, Coleman. The story started 4 years ago in 2017. There was a ninth grade girl who didn't make her varsity cheerleading team. She got so upset that her and a friend took a couple of selfies, four actually, where they gave the middle finger to the camera because she was so upset that she didn't make the varsity cheerleading team. And this was in Pennsylvania. So her and her friend stick out their middle fingers and they snap four pictures, takes four selfies. She then put it on her Snapchat. Well, after she put it on her Snapchat, her school saw that, her high school. And her school said, all right, you can't be a cheerleader next year either because of what you just did. Well, her and her family said, you can't do that. This is my personal Snapchat. This case made it, not only did it make it to the Supreme Court, Coleman, the Supreme Court is ruling on it.
How do you think they're going to rule? Or did they rule already?
Well, that's why I brought this up. Should that school have the right to banish that student from the cheerleading team next year because of what she put on her own personal Snapchat? What do you think?
I would say yes, because we've seen a lot of people fired based on what they put on social media. So why should a student be exempt? We've seen people in public school systems. We've seen people in media. We've seen people in news journalism. They put something crazy on it, and they have to suffer the consequences of their actions. So, of course, I believe that the school was right to say, well, since you put this on social media, you're banned from cheerleading next year as well.
I'm surprised you think that way, because this coming week, the 9 United States Supreme Court justices are due to hear the arguments on whether this disciplinary act by a public school, a government institution, violated the United States Constitution's First Amendment guarantee of freedom of speech.
All right, she has freedom of speech, but does she not have freedom of consequence? The thing is, she's not going to jail for it. Freedom of speech is to protect the government from arresting you or from bringing you to jail for what you say. But saying, no, you can't join our team because you stuck up the middle finger, that's not violating our First Amendment right. She had the right to put whatever she wants on social media, and that's it. Now she can't cheerlead. That's not going to jail. Freedom of speech is to protect you from going to jail for your expressions.
Well, I have always said there is no such thing as freedom of speech without repercussions.
Exactly.
So the repercussions for this, at the time, high school freshmen's actions were, okay, you can't be a cheerleader at this school next year either because of what you just did, what you just put on your Snapchat.
Right. So if I, for instance, if I curse out a teacher, I'm going to get suspended or get a detention or something. That's not violating my free speech. I said something out loud. I insulted the teacher. I said some profane language. And then the teacher says, well, since you use profane language and since you insulted me, go to the principal's office. Here's a detention. Here's a referral. Here's a suspension, you know, or you get expelled. So is that not violating freedom of speech as well?
The young girl's name, and by the way, she's now 18 and she's a freshman in college. But, you know, it takes for things to get to the Supreme Court, it takes a few years.
Right. So, look, she's going to go back. If they rule in her favor, she's going to go back to the high school and try out after she's 18. That's what's going to happen.
Her name is Brandy Levy. And she was 14 years old when she did this. And now that the justices, the Supreme Court justices, are going to rule on this, she's gone public. And she said, quote, I was thinking through my head, that was unfair. Like, how could I be punished for something so small? And I didn't do it in school, so I was questioning why. I shouldn't have to be afraid to express myself, and I shouldn't be able I should be able to do it how I want to without being punished by anybody. What I said or what I did, I wasn't targeting. It wasn't bullying. It wasn't harassment or anything like that. She was 14 years old. She was upset. She got passed over for the cheerleading team. Mm-hmm. So her and her friend stuck out their middle fingers. They took selfies. She put it on her Instagram, her own personal Instagram. It had nothing to do
with the school.
Well, listen to what I'm saying.
So why should the school, the public school, a government,
okay,
a government body, why should they be able to tell her, because you did that, we don't like it, and now you can't be a cheerleader next year, too?
So let me ask you this. When you join any public organization, whether it's the drama club, the chess club, a football team, aren't you expected to behave a certain way? If you and I go out and we make an ass of ourselves this weekend, don't we represent the company? And they're going to say, well, you don't represent our values. So if you're a part of this cheerleading team and you want to be a part of this cheerleading team, but you're out on social media sticking out your middle finger, the cheerleading team itself might not find that behavior to be acceptable to their team. They're going to say, look, if you're acting like this in public, we don't want you on our team, because even though that's what you do in your personal life, we want to be presented a certain way, and you're out there putting your middle finger out there on Snapchat and all this social media stuff, that's not going to make our organization look good.
All right.
So once you join an organization, aren't you expected to behave a certain way?
Let me answer both of your questions.
Okay.
She was 14.
Great.
She was not on the cheerleading team.
Not at that time.
So when she gave the middle finger and put it on Instagram, she was not part of the cheerleading team.
Great.
You and I are employed by Audacy, who owns Bayou 95.7 and a few other stations here in New Orleans. So no matter where we go and what we do, we're always going to be representing the company that signs our paychecks, Audacy.
Right.
So it's different. It's
however,
two different things.
Now, you've heard of people, before they hire somebody, they go check their social media page before they hire them, and they see something they don't like.
That is part of a resume.
Right. Yes. So is it unfair for a boss or somebody who's trying to join a team, say, look, we went through your social media page, we've seen some videos and tweets and posts we don't like, therefore we don't think you're good for this. I say, you know what, let's meet her halfway. Let the girl try out whenever. Let the girl try out and still say, we don't want you on the team. When you try it out, we don't like it, bye. That's what I would have done. Because the thing is, she did, she was out of spite, sticked up her middle finger, now she wants to be a part of the team. I'm quite sure they don't want her there because of how she behaves.
Well, what do you think if you're listening? The Supreme Court is going to rule on this. Did the public school have the right to tell her, because of what you just put on your personal Instagram page, you're not going to be able to be a cheerleader here next year either? Did the public school, a government body, have the right to tell that 14-year-old, we didn't like what you put on your personal Instagram? It had nothing to do with the school. It had nothing. It wasn't on the school campus. It wasn't directed. It was a picture. See, I don't think the school had the right to do that.
But freedom of speech only protects you from getting criminally persecuted.
And I know there's no such thing as freedom of speech without repercussions. Text us. How do you think the Supreme Court is going to rule? Do you think this girl got the screws? See, I think she did. It was her own personal Instagram. She was frustrated. Remember, she was 14. She was a child. How do you think the Supreme Court should rule? Did this girl get the screws? Or should they rule on the side of the public school? You know what? You were right for going after this 14-year-old girl for what she put on her own.
They didn't
personal...
go after her. They just told her she couldn't join. They didn't go in and attack
That's
her.
That's going after her.
They didn't go after. She went after them with the middle fingers.
She was a 14-year-old girl. She was emotional. She was upset that she got passed over on the cheerleading team. So she, on her own personal Instagram, she said, you know how I'm feeling today? This is how I'm feeling. And she gave the middle finger. And the school then said, because she did that on her personal Instagram, had nothing to do with the school, wasn't on school property, wasn't directed, she didn't say anything about the school.
Then how did the school, she was talking about them, if it was just middle finger pictures?
The school just didn't like her middle finger pictures on her own personal Instagram, and they told her she couldn't be on the cheerleading squad next year. Should the Supreme Court back the school saying, yeah, you were right? Or should they back the then 14-year-old girl who had a right to take a picture of her own personal Instagram and put it up there. It's very interesting because, again, the Supreme Court doesn't rule on most of the cases that come before them. They only have time to rule on some of them. This is one they picked. Are they gonna side with the 14-year-old girl's right to do her own personal Instagram and not be subjected to the public school, the government entity's sanctions? I'm surprised at you, Coleman, as a libertarian.
That's government. That's different. That's a public school. It's different.
This is a public school is part of the government.
Yes, it's different. It's not a private enterprise. It's a government.
Text us. I hope the Supreme Court rules with the girl and say, look, you're a 14-year-old. You can put what you want on up to a certain limit, obviously, on your own social media. She took a picture of her sticking out the middle finger with her friend, and then she got banned from cheerleading from that school for the next year, and she thought it was wrong, and I think that was wrong too. Or do you agree with Colbin? Hey, your social media, that's part of your resume? The public school could do what they want to because they didn't like what you did. Text us, 504-260-9595. Please don't text while you're driving. If your text is good, we'll read it next, coming up on the show here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. We've got a very interesting story that we were just talking about. If you're just joining us, the United States Supreme Court, one of the cases that they're going to hear happened a few years ago to a high school freshman girl in Pennsylvania when she was passed over for the varsity cheerleading squad. Her and her friend then stuck out a middle finger. They stuck out their middle fingers, took a picture, a selfie, and they posted it. She posted it on her personal Instagram page. When the school found out about that, the public high school in Pennsylvania, they told her, well, now you're not going to be able to be a cheerleader next year on our squad either. And so the student, I guess she was 14 years old at the time. Her name's Brandy Levy. I guess her and her parents weren't happy about that, and they took the school to court. And this has gone all the way to the United States Supreme Court. Remember, they don't hear most of the cases. This is one of the ones that they're hearing, and they're actually going to make a ruling on. And whose side are you on? Do you agree with the girl like I do? Or do you agree with the school for suspending her for the next year like Coleman does? Because he said she shouldn't have done that. It's her own personal Instagram. It had nothing to do. They weren't on school property. She didn't say anything about the school.
She actually did. This text says she actually had a thing at the bottom of the picture saying bleep school cheerleading and softball. So she did mention the school. Like she did target the school.
Okay. So at the bottom of the picture, she was upset that she didn't make the high school's varsity cheerleading team. But this case has gone all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court's going to hear it and rule on it. What do you think?
This first text says, I'm with John. She wasn't representing anyone.
She wasn't because she didn't make the team.
Roy C. says, the school is correct. Sorry, John. The girl needs to learn consequences. The girl needs to learn consequences from her actions.
See, this is why the Supreme Court decided to rule on this one, because I can tell by the text we're right down the middle. You got half the people on 50-50 saying one side of the story. Half the people are with the school. Half the people are with the girl.
Yeah, Shay says, I side with Ocelyn, but if I was her mom or dad, I would spank her ass for shooting the bird.
Okay, well, that's fair.
This text says, this was a missed opportunity for her parents to teach her about consequences. This text says, the school was wrong. The post was not a threat. It wasn't on school grounds, and it was beyond the scope of what the school should be involved in. The girl could have earned a scholarship and changed the entire course of life via cheerleading, but some Karens at the school decided to come after her and change this poor girl's life.
I got a 14-year-old girl upset, just put something on her personal Instagram, and the public school, they said, well, because you did that, you're not going to be able to cheer for us next year. And she and her family thought it was wrong what they did. Again, freedom of speech, no such thing as freedom of speech without repercussions.
This text says, Supreme Court shouldn't even be wasting their time with this. Her conduct was unbecoming, and if she wanted to make a scene, just be a better cheerleader.
All right.
This text says, why would she have an Instagram or a Snapchat at 14 years old?
Well, she put this on her Snapchat, and the reason why the Supreme Court is dealing with this is because it's a pretty, I mean, think about it. A 14-year-old puts something on social media, and then the public high school suspends her, tells her she can't be a cheerleader next year.
They didn't suspend her. All they did was say she couldn't be a cheerleader. They didn't suspend her. They didn't ground her. All they did was say, well, since you put this up, you're not eligible to try out for the team next year.
But they suspended her from being a cheerleader next year.
But she was still able to go to school and get an education. She just couldn't try out for the cheerleading
team. But she wanted to be a cheerleader.
All right. I wanted to be an actor. So here we are. I'm with Coleman. Back to school. Her actions are not what they want representing their school. Even though she was only 14, she must learn that there are consequences. This is the problem with most of America today. They're all snowflakes with no accountability.
This is a very good one, and we're going to follow this through the Supreme Court to see how the United States Supreme Court rules on this. I mean, does a 14-year-old have a right to put something on her personal Snapchat, her personal...
Once again, they didn't take any of our rights away. They just told her, we don't want you trying out because of your behavior.
She wanted to be a cheerleader. They told her she couldn't be a cheerleader.
Okay.
And that's why the United States Supreme Court is dealing with this. Fascinating stuff here on Bayou 95.7. Coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning. No, not another gender reveal party mishap. Oh, God, no. That's next on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. And it's that time of our show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning.
Yeah, the engineers are still fighting with the aliens in the other room.
I think I'm dumb.
They're winning, though. The engineers are winning. So.
Just having a few technical difficulties over there.
Yeah, it's okay. They'll be fine.
All right. Gender reveal party triggers earthquake fears after family uses 80 pounds of explosives.
Oh, my.
We've done a few gender reveal party horror stories on this show where people have died, where hundreds, if not thousands of acres have burnt. And now this happened up in the state of New Hampshire. You know, New Hampshire, their state motto is live free or die.
Clearly. Clearly.
A gender reveal party prompted a huge explosion that neighbors compared to an earthquake, according to police. The expectant family, who lives in Kingston, New Hampshire, that's a town right near the Massachusetts border, set off such a blast that it could be heard across the state line. Kingston, New Hampshire police responded to reports of the load explosion on Tuesday night and found people who were holding a gender reveal party where they found the explosives, and these people were found with explosives. One person who lives nearby said, quote, we heard this god-awful blast. It knocked pictures off of our walls. I'm all up for silliness and whatnot, but that was extreme. It was earth-shaking, said another neighbor. So police figured out this family who threw the gender reveal party used 80 pounds of explosives. And people who lived in that vicinity literally thought they were having an earthquake.
So think about this. The shock of the impact of that explosion was heard across state lines.
Yes.
Knocked pictures off people's walls, shook the foundation. So if the baby was to come out deaf, who's at fault? Could somebody say, hey, yeah, your baby's deaf, I'm sorry. And they'd be like, why? What happened? Maybe it was that 80-pound explosion that you had right near the baby during the gender reveal party while the baby was still in the womb. See, now it's getting dangerous to where they're putting the actual baby's life at risk if the baby or the mom was around for this gender reveal party. And does it say whether it was a boy or a girl?
It does not say here in the story if it's okay. If it's a boy or a girl.
But I'm just saying, don't be surprised if the baby comes out with some sort of hearing disability after it's born.
And I just found a video of this, and I'm trying to see the explosion here. The explosion isn't pink, and it's not blue either. So I'm still not sure.
Or maybe they were just blowing something up and used the gender reveal party as an excuse.
Well, luckily, again, no one died. Sure, a bunch of people thought they were having an earthquake and hit the bathtub, headed for the bathtub. But no one died during this gender reveal party like we have seen in the past. And the woman who came up with the idea for the gender reveal parties, she's on record saying it's time to stop with these things. Because people are going out of, they're getting out of control trying to do something incredibly amazing to let family and friends know what gender their baby's going to be. And like I said, we've done stories where people have died and people have been maimed.
Planes have crashed.
Yes.
Wildfires have started.
Plane crashes and such. So, go easy with those gender reveal parties. And then there's a segment of society that don't even believe that you should have these parties because they don't believe that babies know their gender until they get older.
Yeah. That baby's coming out deaf. Watch what I tell you.
Well, anyways, the gender reveal party triggers an earthquake up in New Hampshire that they thought they were having in Massachusetts as well because the family used 80 pounds of explosives for the gender reveal party. That's the dumbest thing I read all morning.
Well, actually, Billy says that's the dumbest thing you read all week.
Thanks, Billy. Appreciate it. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.